Today on Real Radio.
Our invisible God can only be seen by others through the love that we show one toward another. This visible love that you and I can express one toward another is a testimony to the world that God abides in us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. As we've been learning, John the Apostle had, let's call it, particular insight into divine love. We see this concept in his writings, including the gospel that he wrote, and interestingly enough, history has dubbed John as the Apostle of Love. In the section we're looking at today, chapter 4, John addresses divine love. In fact, he uses the term perfect love. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4. It's called, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Have we as Christians come to that place of enjoying the benefits of God's love? I wonder. Man, I tell you, when you do, there's a freedom. There's a liberty that comes into your life that absolutely begins a journey for you, the believer, that frees you up to do whatever God is calling you to do because you know God loves you. Have you ever seen a kid who's really loved and they know it? I'm not talking spoiled. I'm talking confident in the love that they have with their parent or grandparent. It's a beautiful thing. There's a security. There's an assurance. There is a boldness. There is an awareness that they have. And you look at children that are loved and that are embraced. And listen, kids that are touched a lot, they're hugged, their hands are held, you know, they know that they're very included. There is this blossoming that takes place in their lives. They seem to grow up the right way sooner. They seem to grow up with an emotional stability that is just absolutely incredible. Many children excel early on in life because they know they're loved. And I think God wants us to feel and to be that way. I think the Lord wants us to experience that freedom. Don't you think the Lord wants us to sense in a way that He's holding our hand always, that there's this deep understanding of acceptance in the heart and in the mind that we experience with our God? Why would He want us to sense or feel anything less? I think He wants us to sense and feel that all the more, maybe in ways that we can't even articulate with our tongue. John, or 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, no one, John says, has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We're going to be looking at 4 points tonight, but listen carefully. 4 points tonight, but 10 attributes to these points. Number one tonight, in verses 12 to 16, we're going to be looking regarding this, what does love got to do with it? Well, God's love is an act of love. That's what God's love has to do with it. It's an act of love, verses 12 to 16. Active. You know, the very word in the Bible, love, is a verb. It's got to do. Even outside of the Bible, the word love is a do word. It's not a passive word, it's a do word. In verses 17 to 18, we're going to be looking at God's love and that it's a powerful love. God's love is very, very powerful. It has an incredible ability to change the world, God's love does. In verses 19 to 20, we'll see that God's love is a creative love. God's love is a creative love. It not only redeems, but it creates. And in verse 21 tonight, we'll see that God's love is a motivating love. God's love is a motivating love. Very, very powerful, His love is. Very, very motivating, as we'll see tonight. So our first point as we look this evening, and I'm going to ask you to keep a few things in your notes in mind. And that is, tonight as we look to our first point, verses 12 to 16, that God's love is an act of love. Keep this in mind. 10 things we're going to look at. In these verses that are before us, there are 10 things that we're going to be seeing. And I want you to enumerate them as we go through this. Number one, God's love is an act of love. For He says in verse 12, "For no one has seen God at any time." So what does love got to do with it, as we put it? Well, first of all, verse 12, love allows us to see God's invisible nature. This is the only way that we're going to see God until we get raptured or we go and into heaven. You know, we die and go to heaven. The only way that we're going to see God really in a character sense, we won't see God in this life. We've got to leave this world to see Him. But listen, God's love allows us to see God's invisible nature. See, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, when it says in verse 12, no one has seen God at any time, can you mark that down? This is an awesome declaration. It's incredible. When He says no one has seen God at any time, understand this. In the Greek, the meaning's very clear. It means that no created thing, human or angelic, has ever seen God. Doesn't this come to a surprise to you? Don't you think that angels are just kind of flying around God all the time? They are. But we know from the Bible that whenever angels appear in the presence of God, what are they doing? You know this, remember? Yes. They're veiling their faces in His presence. They cover their face. And I can't touch on that verse without just thinking about it. How these seraphim, radical things, they've got their face, or their head, I should say, with four faces. In whatever direction they move, let me do it for you. They go left, right, they go forward or back. There's a face pointing in any direction at any time. They're always in His presence, and they are always there. Yes, they have these faces, but what do? With two wings, they've got six wings, three sets. Three sets of wings, six wings. They flap with two, they cover their bodies with two, and they cover their face with two. In the presence of God. It's awesome to think. So when we think about Him stating that no one has seen God, that is so true that even angels haven't seen God. That's why when Jesus was born into the world, the Bible tells us there in Timothy that they gawked at His arrival. They were wide-eyed angels. At His birthing into the world, the angelic host were wide or open-eyed and opened mouth at the arrival of God in human flesh being born into the world. So God's love allows us to see God's invisible nature. Without us loving one another, this is how important it is. Without us loving one another, God's existence or God's nature would suffer greatly in appearance before men. Now, God doesn't change. And He is God if we love each other or not. But when we do love each other, it exhibits to the world that God is enthroned in our hearts, and that when we reach out and touch and love and minister to each other, we are showing that God is in control of our lives. When something happens in our lives, as we saw last week, and we extend mercy, grace, forgiveness, kindness to one another, we are loving on one another because we believe that it's not a list of the fruits of the Spirit. We believe that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and everything that flows out of love is there recorded in the book of Galatians 5. But it's love. Love's the key. That if we're loving one another, we are, in a real sense, manifesting the invisible nature of God. God is loving. He loves us. So when he says no one has seen God at any time, it's interesting to realize that God, our God, who is invisible, and believe me, I know sometimes you don't think that's a good idea, but it's a great idea. Our God is invisible. Our God is not human. It was a big deal for God to become a human. He is not a big one of us. He's invisible, the Bible tells us. The Bible says that he lives in a place of unapproachable lights. The scriptures tell us that no man can look upon God and live. Wow. The scripture says in Hebrews 12, 29, that our God is a consuming fire. In John 1, 18, the Bible says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him, obviously Jesus. He's invisible. Our invisible God can only be seen by others through the love that we show one toward another. This visible love that you and I can express one toward another is a testimony to the world that God abides in us and that we abide in him. And by the way, his love is to be acted out through us. How in the world is the people around us ever going to realize that God is enthroned and that God is real unless God has the opportunity to live his love out through us? To live that love out through us is what God wants to do. And so he says here, going on in verse 12, if we love one another, God abides. Just mark it. God takes residence. He lives in our house. Where's our house? Our hearts. That's our address. That's our real address. God living in our hearts, his abiding in our hearts within us, and his love, it says, has been perfected in us. That is, it is complete. It's an amazing word. It means that God has deposited in us his love, and it has been deposited in all of its fullness. Now, here's the amazing thing. Some of you in here could raise your hand that you've been a Christian for under a year. Some of you could say, well, I've been a Christian for under 5 years. Some in here could say, I've been a Christian for 20 or more years, whatever. It doesn't matter. The moment you and I came to the Lord, he deposited his love in our hearts. Instantly. It doesn't matter if you're an old seasoned saint or a brand new believer, that deposit of love he made. But here's the cool thing about growing up with Jesus, is that supposedly anyway, the more you mature with Christ and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, the more you become in tune to the fact that God's word and God's life and God's love abides in you, that you begin to step out in faith and express that love to other people, you have a confidence. Now, I love it like you do, that when a brand new believer comes to know the Lord and they sense that overwhelming presence of God, they've never known this before, they just go out and they're loving on everybody. They're just smooching on you and hugging on you and praising the Lord everywhere. It's great. But so should the seasoned saint be like that. Love coming out of us, showing and displaying the invisible nature of God. For God is love, the Bible tells us. Verse 13 tells us, by this we know that we abide in him. So it can be known. The word's gnosko. By this we have experiential knowledge. We can put this to the test. And here's the test. We can know for sure. Oh, ask yourself, do I know for sure? Do I know for sure that we abide or that I abide in him? Verse 13. And he in us. Because he has given us his spirit, his invisible nature. Matthew 5:18 tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is an amazing verse. Listen quickly, touch on this, and we gotta go. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, Jack, I thought the Bible says that nobody can see God. That's true, nobody can see God. Even angels right now cannot see God. But when we get into glory, I don't know what's going to happen to us. It doesn't exactly say, but it knows this, that when we're up there, we're going to be like him. We're going to be glorified. Listen, he's going to put eyes in us that will allow us to see him face to face. Now listen, this gets really bizarre in a great way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, for they shall see God, what can that mean? See God the Father? See God the Son? See God the Holy Spirit? Listen, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For the first time, at the jealousy of angels, we will be allowed to see God in all of His fullness, in all of His totality. You and I, these weak little balls of 14 or so elements of dirt that we're made out of. And you know, the whole universe out there is made out of the same junk you and I are made out of. We are but dust. And this is the glory that God is going to do. He's going to get us into His presence, and He's going to, I'm making this part up right now. He's going to unwrap our head, you know, take off the bandage, and we're going to open our eyes, and there He is. There who is? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How can we see the Spirit? I don't know. We got to wait till we get there. But we're going to see Him. Matthew 5:8 tells us we shall see God. Are we going to handle it? We're going to handle it. That's the amazing thing too. We're going to be able to handle it. We're going to see Him and we're going to go, wow! It's going to be absolutely incredible. We will see God. When somebody asks you, well, you know, you'll never see the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we shall see God. No angel has seen Him. No human has seen Him. Moses wanted to see Him. God, just let me see You. And I love that story. God says, well, look, it'll kill you if you see Me. You'll fry. You'll melt. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pass by. You hide in the crack of that cliff right there, in the crack of that rock. I'll pass by, and I'll shelter. I'll cover your face. And after I've gone, this is so cool. After I've gone, the atmosphere that is around you where I've passed through, you'll see My Shekinah. You'll see my residual glow, My glory, that lingers after I've been somewhere. Oh, man. So Moses is there. Can you imagine? Okay. All right, here we go. And then, you know, just... All right, Mo, look. And he looks, and he doesn't record what he saw. It's probably too awesome. But he comes down the hill with a bag on his head. He comes down like the unknown prophet. He's got a bag on his head, and the people are going, what are you doing? He sheltered his face because as he left the presence of God, the residual afterglow came on him, and he was glowing. And when he came down, he veiled his head because he didn't want the people to see the glory depart from him. So they saw him go up the mountain without glory, and they weren't going to look at him until the glory was gone, because Moses thought it might be kind of a bummer to be all lit up and then to be back to how he was. In the presence of God, there's this glory. It's got to be awesome. So awesome that angels, how old are angels? You don't know. Nobody knows. How strong are they? We don't know. How do they transport themselves around? We don't know. We just know there's angels, and they love to worship. They love to do whatever God says to do. They love it. Those incredible, favored beings have got to shield themselves in His presence. And then there's going to come a day when He's going to say, okay, all you angels, just scoot over for a minute, okay? Here comes these little earthling dudes that I love so much. Isn't it awesome that Jesus came to earth as a human and not an angel? Isn't it awesome that Jesus died for humans and not for angels? Isn't it awesome that both angels and man can sin, but we're redeemable and they're not? God loves you, if you haven't caught on. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. In Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So number one is that His love allows us to see God's invisible nature. It's incredible. Number two, love confirms to us that He lives in us. Listen, God's love confirms to us that He lives in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because. I have that marked in my Bible, the because. Because, or for this reason, he has given us his Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. By this we know, we've experienced the fact that we abide in him. Listen, have you? And he in us because he has given us his Spirit. We can be sure that we belong to God because we possess the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The Lord has put his mark, or you could say his seal, upon us as a guarantee that we're his property. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You can be sure of that. When he says, we abide in him, John doesn't say, I think we abide in him. I hope someday maybe it'll all click with us. No, he states it as a fact. We abide in him and he in us. Every true Christian knows this, that there's an internal witness that the Holy Spirit says to you, you're my child. It's awesome. You may goof up, you may fail, you may falter, but down deep inside there is this abiding witness that the Holy Spirit has been deposited in us. His love confirms to us that he lives in us. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ, the church. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That's capital S. That's Holy Spirit. I don't know how we're going to show this to you, but I've got to show it to you somehow. I got a card from the prisoners out there at the Ironwood or whatever, the prison out there in the middle of nowhere. Chuckawalla, out in the middle of nowhere. And that outreach that you guys were involved in a couple weeks ago, they wrote me the handmade card from these inmates, and it's beautiful stuff. And we're gonna type it out and put it up sometime on the screen so you can read what these men wrote. And they are just saying, come back. And it's just awesome. Now listen, how does that happen? God gets inside of a life and changes a life. You can be bound in a prison and be as free as a dove by the Spirit of God dwelling in you. How is that? Because the Holy Spirit has baptized us into one body. That is the body of Jesus Christ. Liberating. The word given here, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. The word means to make a deposit or to make a pledge or to make an installation, to install the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36. I love this Old Testament verse that promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 26. There Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will make or put my spirit within you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John writes about divine love, or as he likes to put it, perfect love. The title of this lesson, What's Love Got to Do with It? What's Love Got to Do with It? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through the New Testament letter written by John, the Apostle of Love. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently here on Real Radio, we brought you Pastor Jack's series called Living in the Days of Deception. And you know what? We get a lot of requests still coming in for folks who'd like to get their hands on that series. So we're going to keep it available for you. Our offer? We'll send you Pastor Jack's series, Living in the Days of Deception, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. We really want to get this into your hands, so whatever you can send, we will send you the entire series on one MP3 CD, Living in the Days of Deception. Call, click, or write. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or call us. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception, Pastor Jack's series on MP3 CD. You're going to like it. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, an and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.